Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. This one is called What Makes Us Human Part 2. Because I realized last week when I was starting this that this conversation about what it means to be human, this conversation about how do we live into our truest selves, way too big to be contained in one simple sermon. So I want to continue that conversation this morning. And here's the thing about what makes us human. Here's the thing about this sermon. This week, it's Thursday afternoon. It's a rainy day. And I have in my notebook pages and pages of thoughts and ideas. I have scratches of stories, things that I've written down that I've compiled, and I just haven't been able to compile all of it into a sermon, into an outline of a sermon that made any sense for me. So I have all these ideas, all these thoughts, but it just didn't feel right. As I was putting things together, writing some things out, it just, the flow of it didn't quite feel right. And I thought, all right, well, let's just hit record and I'll give you some thoughts, some things that I've been thinking. And one of the things that I've realized along the way is being human, it's a journey. It's a journey that we're all on. And we all have our own individual human journey. That's the thing. You can't compare your journey to anyone else's journey. Because if you do, you'll start to get tripped up. But one of the things that's universal about our human journeys is that from time to time you get stuck. There's times on this journey of life where it's an open highway and it's the smooth sailing. You're flying down the road. It doesn't seem like anything could go wrong. But then all of a sudden, you hit a pothole. Or all of a sudden, you haven't been paying attention to the gauges. And the gas light goes on. You're like, oh, I need to find a gas station. Because if I don't stop soon, well, this trip is going to go nowhere fast. And so sometimes along the journey, you get stuck. And you're not really too sure where to go next. You're not sure which turn to take. Maybe you're at a fork in the road and you could go left or you could go right. And you know that either direction will take you down a completely different path than the other. And you're not too sure exactly where to go. So for me right now, I feel in putting this sermon together, I feel a little stuck. Because when we talk about what it means to be human, I mean, there's just so many places we could take this. There's so many places where this could go because there's just so much that we could talk about when we talk about our humanity, the truest version of ourselves. And I kept telling myself when I was putting this all together, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. Normally, I have a tendency to overthink things. I have a tendency to pick up a stack of books, and I think, oh, if I could just go through these, well, then I'll have some more insight, and I'll have some more things to say. But the truth is, being human means that you pull from your reservoir of experiences. You pull from everything that you've been through, and everything that you're feeling and thinking and experiencing. And I remember when I first started this journey of giving sermons a couple of years back, I had approached a mentor and asked if he'd be willing to listen to a sermon or two and give me some feedback. And he graciously said he would. And one of the first things he said to me was that I would have to move in order to improve my speaking, to keep moving down the journey of being a public speaker, of giving sermons each week, I would have to move from information being the thing to information simply being a tool on my belt. So here's a bunch of feelings, a bunch of thoughts, things that I'm learning on the human journey right now. And in keeping it simple, what makes us human is love. I mean, can you get any more simple than that? What's the thing that we most desire? Well, we most desire to be loved. And we talked a bit about that last week. But I think it doesn't stop there. I think the thing that makes us the most human is our ability to share that love with others. We receive so that we can give. There's this flow that happens all the time. We can only give that which we ourselves are able to receive. If there's any Lost fans here, right in the beginning of season one, I believe, of Lost, you had Jack, one of the main characters. He was a doctor. And then you had Locke, who was this, well, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to ruin it for you, but he was a wannabe frontiersman. I guess we'll put him that way. And there's this one scene where the two of them are talking and they come to the realization. I think Locke tells Jack, he says, you want to be a leader right now, but you can't take people where you yourself haven't gone. I must have watched that. When did Lost come out? Probably when I was 10, 15 years ago. And that one scene, man, that thing is burned in my mind. You can't lead others where you yourself aren't able to go. If we can't receive love, if there's things that are blocking us from receiving love, well, then we're unable to then pass that love on to others. But I believe the thing that makes us the most human at our core, well, first off, it's that we're loved. But then it's the ability to then pass that love on to others. And I think the way in which we're able to show love to others is coming to the realization that we're all interconnected. Being human means we're connected to others at a deep, deep level. A couple weeks back, I was weeding out my front flower bed, the one I was talking about last week, with all the daffodils that are slowly withering away. It was a Sunday afternoon. We had had our Sunday community group meeting, which I so look forward to that each week, and seeing all your small screens on there and getting a chance to check in and talk and hear how we're all doing and what's happening and how we're all continuing to move forward and how we're dealing with what's going on in front of us. I love those opportunities, the chance to connect, to be with you, to share our lives together, which, hey, that's what it's all about. That's what it means to be interconnected. But we had finished our community group meeting, and I went outside because I said, hey, I want to get this flower bed done. I want all the weeding of this one finished by the end of the day. But I didn't want to be out there too long because I had a family that was inside, and I wanted to spend time with them. I wanted to take Reese outside to run around, to play in the backyard, to kick the soccer ball around. So I go out there, and I'm trying to get my work done, But the thing about this flower bed is it's pretty close to the road. So flower bed, and then a couple of feet, and then the fence, and then another foot or two, and then there's the road. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and all of our neighbors just kept going around and around the block. We live basically on a circle, so you can just keep walking around nice and flat. Now there's no cars, so it's a perfect place to walk. And because the day was a gorgeous spring afternoon, neighbors, like all of them, were out. Neighbors that I had never even seen before. So what happened was I was there, and every time someone would pass our house, pass by where I was doing this weeding, they would stop and they would talk. They would talk about how they were doing, their experiences. They would talk about people that they knew who were sick. Other neighbors, as I mentioned, I met for the first time, and I probably was out there an extra hour just because I kept getting interrupted. But you know what? Loved it. Loved the fact that I had a chance to connect with people that I don't always see. I don't often see them walking around the neighborhood. There were families going for walks, families that I've never seen walk together before. They were out walking the dog. I met a whole bunch of people that live four or five houses down that, again, we've been here now just about 5 years, had never met them before. And there was just, it did something to my soul. It did something within me where I felt alive. It inspired me. It filled me with joy, with life. I mean, that's the truth about being human. It's that we're interconnected with everyone. But often, we're moving so fast, or we have a task ahead of us. We have something that we want to get accomplished, and we want to do it as quickly, as efficiently as possible. And I get it. I'm all for efficiency. When I sit down and do my office work, I open up my email. I don't want to be in my inbox for 3 hours. I want to write my responses to the emails. I want to send off the ones that have to get sent, and then I want to be on to the next thing. If I'm putting together the newsletter, I don't want to be spending all afternoon. So efficiency, it has its place, but interruptions also have their place. And human interruptions, those really have their place. Probably spoke to 7 or 8 neighbors that afternoon. Took me an extra hour to get that flower bed weeded. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful because I had a chance to talk and interact with people. And, you know, I didn't realize how much I was missing talking to others in the flesh until after I had those moments, until after I had those opportunities. Because it's one thing for us to talk like we're doing and like we have opportunities to do throughout the week on our Zoom meetings, FaceTime, and all the other technological ways that we interact with people. But there's something else about connecting in the flesh. You know what I'm talking about, right? You see someone and there's, especially right now, there's this longing that you have to just stay a while, to talk with them a while. From 6 feet apart, there was another day where I was outside and one of my good friends, he was out for a bike ride and he saw me in my front yard and he stopped. So I ran up to the fence and we just stood there and talked for 15, 20 minutes. And then he eventually had to go, but there was, it was almost like there was this sadness within me where I'm like, no, please don't go. We're enjoying this conversation. There's something about sharing life in the flesh with others that connects deeply with our humanity. Part of what it means to be human is that we are interconnected with all of us, with each other. We don't always realize this. We don't often think about this. We get so consumed, so focused. We have blinders on to what we have to do that sometimes we miss the lives of others around us. But when we stop, spend some time, it does something to our souls. We see the interconnectedness we have with others at a deep, deep level. There's a lot of talk right now. I just attended a seminar yesterday online about, well, how will the church look differently as a result of COVID-19? And about 2 weeks ago, I did an interview with Kurt, one of my good friends. We were talking about, I had asked him, well, hey, how do you think the church is going to look different? One of his concerns, I guess, was, are people going to come back in the flesh to church? Or will they just consume church online? I was talking to a coach of mine last week, and he listed out a whole bunch of different assumptions about how he thinks the church will change. One of the assumptions that he offered, one of his ideas about how the church will change, is that, yes, we will see a marked decline in the number of people who attend church on a Sunday morning. He said the one thing that will make a difference is if you are offering a transformational experience for people. So if all you're giving is information, and all you're doing is passing along information to other people, then they can easily get that Sunday morning in their pajamas, cup of coffee, bacon and eggs, right? They can easily get that laying in bed or on the sofa on a Sunday morning. But if you're offering an experience, a transformational experience that people can't get by lounging in their pajamas, then people will come back to, as he puts it, brick and mortar. People will come back to a physical space. See, I think when we talk about church, that's what church is about. It's not simply the information. It's not just all of the intellect that you can pass on, which is good, which is helpful. Intellect is intellectual ideas are how we grow, how we develop our thinking. It's how we evolve, how we mature. But there has to be a transformational piece, an experiential piece that is connected to how a church is run. And what I think that transformational experiential piece is, it's each other. It's each other. It's all of us coming together in the flesh under the same roof, singing the same songs. I did a sermon last year. We talked about worship and how when you're singing together with a group of people, all of your brain waves synchronize. There's something that happens when we get together in the flesh. Our brain waves do some sort of syncing, showing us, again, this idea we're all interconnected. We're all deeply connected at levels that we don't even realize. Ways that show up only if you have a brainwave scanner. So there's something about coming together, singing the same songs, talking with each other, giving hugs, which hopefully we'll get back to that in the near future. But there's something about us getting together and sharing life in the flesh with each other. And I think that's the beauty of what church offers. It's not simply a sermon. It's not coming to a building, sitting in a seat, singing a couple of songs, but it's being part of a community, sharing your life with others, sharing the times when you get stuck. Right back to the beginning of this sermon, being human means you're on a journey. And sometimes part of that journey is you're stuck, and you need others to help you get unstuck. Part of being human means you're on a journey and you need others. You want others who are there with you to share the highlights. I mean, imagine if you were to, let's talk about our wedding, Steph and my wedding from a little over 8 years ago already. We had the greatest thing about that wedding, when we look back on it, when we think about it, is when we looked out at who was there that day. It felt like a greatest hits album. Because we looked out and it was friends of ours from all different parts of life. I had my college friends there. I had friends from high school. My family was there. Church friends, work friends. Steph had her ballet friends. She had friends who she grew up with. Her family was there. And for us looking out and seeing all of these friends of ours interacting with each other, meeting each other for the first time, celebrating, right? Everyone was there together, celebrating, having a good time. They were celebrating our marriage. They were celebrating our relationship. That's what you want from others. You want others to be there in those celebratory moments in life. And you also want people who are there in times of loss, in times of despair, in times of chaos. If you've ever gone to a funeral, often I'll go to a funeral, I'll go to a viewing to a wake, and you just want to show those who have lost a friend or family member, that you're there with them. There's no words necessarily that you can offer, but you simply offer your presence. You offer your time, showing you care about this person, that you're willing to allow your schedule to be disrupted so that you can sit with them in their loss, in their pain. That's what it means to be human, to sit with others, to be interconnected with others in pain, loss, despair, and also in moments of celebration. Yeah, being human means that we're present to each other. It means that we share our journey with the journey that someone else is on. Now, I think one of the things that often trips us up on our human journeys is this, I don't know if it's a need, maybe I could say it's a tendency that we have to compare our journey with others. Now, this isn't something new. This is something that humans have been experiencing for a really, really long time. Thousands of years, maybe since the beginning, you could say, of our humanity. You go back to the Ten Commandments, and one of the commandments, thou shall not covet. Why was that one of the ten greatest commandments, which these commandments are actually a picture of what it means to be human? Think about the Israelites at this time. They've just been rescued from slavery. If you're a slave, you have someone who tells you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. In other words, you have someone telling you how to live, how to be. Now, the Israelites, they've been set free. They've been rescued. They have no idea how to live the human journey, because for their entire existence, remember, all the people who were rescued out of Israel, the only thing that they know, their entire existence has been in slavery. They don't know what it means to be human. They've been dehumanized. They've been stripped of their humanity their entire lives. So now God leads them out. God rescues them, saves them from slavery, brings them out into the wilderness, and then gives them these Ten Commandments. Or the Hebrew word is the word Devarim, these 10 words, these 10 ideals, or maybe we could say these 10 ways to live into your true humanity. If you want to be human, if you want to know what it means to live as a free person, as a free man or woman, here's how to do it. And on that list is, well, don't covet. Whatever your neighbor has, that's for them. You don't need that because you have your own journey to walk. You have your own set of problems. You have your own experiences. You have your own path. We don't see this going away. I mean, one of my favorite scripture verses, John chapter 21. This is after Jesus has been resurrected, and he's speaking to Peter. And we talked about this a couple of weeks back, this one section here in 21, where Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, yes, yes. And Jesus says, well, follow me, follow me. And Peter turned. So after all of this, verse 20, Peter turned. He saw that disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Now, when Peter saw him, he asked, well, what about him? Jesus has told Peter, follow me, follow me. Now Peter sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he says, what about that guy? What about him? What's his journey? Why aren't you having this conversation with him? Why are you only having this conversation with me? To which Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. In other words, he's saying, who cares what his journey is? His journey doesn't, it shouldn't interest you right now. His journey, you shouldn't be thinking about it right now. You should be thinking about your journey. We're having this conversation about you. You're bringing him into it. You're bringing his journey into it. No. You have your own journey to live. Don't be so concerned about his journey, because the more concerned you are about his journey, the more you worry about him and where he's going, the less you're going to be able to walk your journey. You see the wisdom, the brilliance here in this. As humans, we have a tendency to compare. We have a tendency to look at everyone else's journey and think, wow, their journey, they must be doing so much better than me. And I think it's happening now in the midst of this pandemic. We're looking at what other people are experiencing and thinking, look at what they're going through. I wish I didn't have to deal with this and I simply had their path or I had their reality right now. But the truth is, you have no idea what they're going through. You have no idea what their current reality or their current experience is. It's as if Jesus is saying to you, well, if that's their path, if that's what they're going through, well, what concern of yours is that? Why should that concern you right now? The only thing you have in front of you is your path. The only thing you should be concerned about is walking your journey and discerning where that path is going. Because I think that is such an important question for us right now. That's such an important question for us to spend time asking right now. Where is our journey leading us? Where is our path leading us? We are in the midst of a disruption. We're in the midst of a time of chaos. And one of the beautiful things about chaos, one of the beautiful things about disruption, I understand it's uncomfortable. All chaos, all disruptions are really, really uncomfortable. But one of the beautiful things about the moment is it's also an opportunity. It's also an invitation. It's also for us, it's also a chance for us to evaluate what's the path that we've been walking, and do we want to continue walking that path? Or how about this one? Not only do we want to continue walking that path, but is this the best path for me? Is the path that I've been walking really the path that is leading me into the truest version of who I am? Yeah, isn't that a great question to be asking right now? I came across this quote in an essay by a philosopher, Charles Eisenstein, and he wrote this essay called The Coronation, which you need to go and read this, The Coronation by Charles Eisenstein. But he says this, COVID-19 is like a rehab intervention that breaks the addictive hold of normality. To interrupt a habit is to make it visible, right? Because habits, you just do them. They're a habit. You don't think about them. You just simply, you're on autopilot. You just do it without even thinking. So they're not visible. So whenever you interrupt a habit, well, now you've made it visible. And so he said, to interrupt a habit is to make it visible. It is to turn it from a compulsion to a choice. When the crisis subsides, we might have occasion to ask whether we want to return to normal or whether there might be something we've seen during this break in the routines that we want to bring into the future. This moment, it's as if we're at a crossroads and we've been walking down a particular path and we're now being handed an opportunity to decide, are we going to keep walking that path? Is that path really giving us the things that we truly desire in life? Is it leading us down a path of love for ourselves, for all people? down a path of interconnectedness? Are we walking down the path that we have chosen for ourselves? Or are we walking down a path that someone else has handed us? Yeah, often we get started on a path, and it's really not our own path. It's not a path of our choosing. It's not the path that God is leading us down. But we've allowed other voices to guide us down a path. And the truth is, those aren't voices that are speaking for our truest selves. That's not the divine voice being spoken over your life. And so we've been walking down a path that others have placed before us. Maybe now we're coming to realize, I don't need to walk that path anymore. That's not the truest path for me. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he was telling me that he had been invited to participate or to be a participant, I guess, an observer of an online conversation that was being had amongst certain pastors. And he told me when he saw the lineup, he immediately said, "Nope, not for me, not for me. Not gonna tune in." And the reason why he said this was because he felt like the pastors that were being highlighted, they fit a certain mold. They had a certain brand or a certain level of success. And he said that often what happens is that we're not encouraged to form our own mold. We're not encouraged to be our own selves. We're sort of being forced into a particular way of being. And so we highlight people who are successful. We highlight people who have the big things, the people who have the most followers, because, well, they must be doing something right. And instead of encouraging others to follow the divine voice for themselves, we often place human success stories in front of us and say, well, this is the path to true success. But he says he's realized that for him, it doesn't feel right any longer, because he no longer wants to hear what success looks like for others. He wants to determine what success looks like for himself. He wants to walk his own path. He doesn't want to be looking around at the disciple whom Jesus loved and say, well, what about his path? Can I walk that one? How do I gain the tools to walk down that path? He wants to learn the tools that he needs to walk down his particular path. And he doesn't want to be forced to walk down a path that isn't one of his choosing. See, one of the beautiful things about this moment right now, about this disruption, is things are coming to the surface. And I believe one of the things coming to the surface is we're able to see the stories that we've allowed to shape our lives. And so one of the greatest questions, this is the question that I'm asking right now. This is the question that I'm journaling about it. That's why I think this whole, what makes us human, I'm asking this question myself. And I have pages and pages of notes of things that I'm thinking about, that I'm learning, that I'm discovering, because for me, I want to walk my truest path. I want to walk down a path of love, a path that is good for everyone, a path that values each person. And I want to walk down a path that is true to who God has made me to be. So I'm asking all these questions. Is the path that I've been walking, is that the path that I need to keep walking? Do I need to make any slight changes, any course corrections? Are there any stories along the way? Well, they haven't really been doing me well. They haven't actually been leading me down the truest path. And so I need to make some revisions. I need to change the narrative in my head. I need to go right here. I need to stop walking the path that others have pressured me to walk and walk down the path of freedom for myself. So yeah, those are some of the questions that I'm asking. My prayer for you during this time is that you would take this opportunity. You would take this disruption to evaluate all your habits that are coming to the surface. All the ways in which you've been forming your life. And ask yourself the question, are they leading me down the path of my truest self? Are there any habits that I need to change? Are there any ways of being? I've allowed others' voices to crowd out the space in my head, and I need to set all those aside, and I need to sit in silence with a pen, with a notebook, and I need to listen for the divine voice, the divine wisdom that is within my very soul. Does anyone here this morning, you need to stop comparing yourself to others. They have their journey. They have their experiences. They have their situations, their different realities to discover for themselves, to figure out themselves, and you have your journey. So may you be true to the journey that God has set before you. And may you walk fully into the path where God is leading you. And may you be surprised at what you find along the way. May you come to discover a path of love for all people. May you come to see the interconnectedness that we all share. And as you walk that path, may you see the divine every step of the way. So grace and peace to you, my friends.